Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry we're a little late this morning. Some housework being done. And I'd like to call the January 14th, 2016 Code Enforcement Board meeting to order and wish everybody a happy new year, and we'll try and get through this as quickly as we can. Madam Secretary, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes, ma'am. We have a new member, Mr. House. Please make sure everybody's microphone is on.
Present.
Here.
Mr. Smart.
Here.
Mr. Harrington.
Here.
Mr. Pundit.
Here.
And Mr. Jones, did you call last name conflict for not being
Okay. Mr. Jones, is there a motion to excuse Mr. Jones?
Second.
All right, we have a motion from Mr. Smart and a second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. And I just want to thank Mrs. House for volunteering and sitting on our board. We needed a new member, and we got a good one. And so welcome. All right. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes, I didn't notice that that was part of my business.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Harrington was not present at last meeting, and Mr. Hines was.
Yes.
So I will make that change.
Okay. Was there anything else? Any additions or corrections? All right. Motion to approve the December 10th minutes as corrected. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mrs. Himes, second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye. Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communications? Right. Hearing none.
Harris, what that basically means, I'm sure you know that, but if for some reason someone has discussed the case with you prior to being here today, just disclose and say, yes, I met Mr. Jones over in the Publix, but we did not discuss the case, and I'm going to make my decision based on what I hear here today. But it's always good to disclose. Even if you don't talk to the person, tell me get out of there. Get away. It's so good to disclose.
And the same with any communication that you might get from email. So that's right. Any communication.
If you get communication, make sure you share it with the person.
Okay. All right, Madam Secretary, do we have any announcements?
Yes, ma'am. We do have several cases on the agenda that are in compliance that are not reflected.
Okay.
Start with number 7, CEB 1015-54, 1229 on the road, compliance as of January 12th. Number 8, CEB 1015-53 for 1023 Cattle Drive, in compliance as of January 13th. And the next page, in the new pages, we have number 13 for CEB 0116-02, 648 South Landville, labeled, compliance as of January 11th. Number 14, CEB 0116-03 for 101 Mallard Lane, compliance as of January 11th. And number 15, CEB 0116-04 for 1305 5th Street, compliance January 5th. And I believe.
That's a lot. Good. Okay. Would code officers come forward and be sworn in, please?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and, for the most part, in order as they appear on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we will hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedures. All right, are there any attorneys present? What case? Okay, that is case number two, okay. And what case are you here, sir?
I believe I'm number one. I'm an attorney, but I'm also the property owner.
Okay, well, we'll just go 1-2 if that's okay with you. And then we'll go back to the lien review, right? All right, so we'll start with case number one, CEB 12-14-1.
Sir.
Oh, you're the lien review. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Well, then, let's do the lien review. We'll do it in order. All right? So, if you'll come forward, this is lien review number one, CEB 10-07-203, 228 San Juan Avenue.
Good morning. My name is Armistead Ellis. I am an attorney, but I'm here today in my capacity as the landowner. I bought this vacant lot.
Okay, just one second.
Sure.
We'll hear from staff first, and then you'll be given a chance to respond. Mr. Jackson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Now, this is before you for a lien review from Mr. Ellis. And I'm sure he'll give you the clear details. The basic position of the city is that, at least from my understanding, and I'll hear what else he has to say, but that he had purchased the land, I think it was by a judicial sale, that's next to his business property, and he'd like to now have the lien reduced on that land. The lien accrued to $15,000. Which was the maximum on the lien plus the cost for filing. So it's $15,012 that's now due. The staff is requesting a reduction to 20% or $3,000.
Reduced to $3,000?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
This lien was placed prior to his...
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Ellis, what would you like to tell us?
Truthfully, I'd like you to waive the lien altogether. I bought this property defensively, which requires some explanation. San Juan is the first east-west street north of Mary McLeod Bethune-Cookman. I've had an office building at the corner of Ridgewood and San Juan for probably 20-plus years, and I own the three lots behind my building. The lot that's involved here is directly across the street from one of those properties. San Juan, for the most part, is made up of low-income, good people. There are two exceptions on San Juan, and one of those is the property directly east of this vacant lot that I bought. I paid $1,000 for it from a tax certificate holder. It's 50 feet wide. To the best of my understanding, there's nothing I can do with it. But the property directly east of it, not right now, but historically, has been very much of a problem. About 15 years ago, there was somebody murdered in that house. In 2014, one of my properties behind my building was hit by gunfire. My understanding from talking to people who live on San Juan is that the man who's in there now wanted this lot, and he inherited it, I think, 2 years ago. He's 77 years old. I understand why he might want it, but I was concerned that this house will again turn into what it has been. And so I bought that lot to stop him from getting it, truthfully. I didn't want it associated with that big house that has historically been a crack house. And those are the only two properties on the street that are those two properties next to each other that have historically been a problem. I have brought the taxes current. I've been maintaining the property since I bought it in August. I will continue to do it. But as near as I can tell, there's no use I have for it other than to head off the future use of that property in the way that historically it's been used. So I'd ask the city to absolve my responsibility for that lien while I go forward, pay the taxes, and maintain that property that no one else has taken care of for the last 20 years.
Were you aware of the lien when you purchased the property?
Absolutely. I knew about the liens. There's actually probably another $60,000 or $70,000 worth of judgment liens against the Patels, the people who had it before. But I don't. I'm not terribly concerned with them. I have a procedure to do an action to quiet title because it was through a tax certificate. Your lien is the exception to that. I can't get rid of your lien in any way other than through you or by paying it. But the I bought a house on San Juan for $15,000. The vacant lot is not worth any more than $1,000 I paid for it. I paid $1,000 for one of the other vacant lots I own.
When did you purchase the house?
I believe it was in August of 2015.
Oh, okay.
And it was only within the last week I brought all the taxes that were outstanding current.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I cut the lawn was Saturday. I've been maintaining it since I got it.
What are you doing to maintain the lot? Is it mowed and fenced? Or?
I haven't fenced it yet. I probably will, just to keep to separate it from the adjacent property, but it depends on what you folks here do. The property I have across the street is all fenced. I've got three lots behind my building, and I've put up commercial-grade chain-link fence to keep people from going through that. I used to have a terrible trouble with the people in the crack houses going through my parking lot and into that gas station that's on the corner there and leaving their trash behind. So, like I say, this property's a bill for me other than the fact, because I have to maintain it and pay the taxes and insure it. And the only reason I bought it at all is to keep it away from the people next door.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? Questions? Mr. Jackson, you reduced it to $3,000. Will that cover all the costs involved in doing the lien review and all the things that have gone before?
Madam Chair, I'm sure it would cover the cost. And I'll be quite honest, the position of staff, and it's a general position, is one that they try not to be part of the benefit of a bargain. And while it's not really our business whether it's how it's obtained or how much it costs, we know that there's a special benefit to being able to get property to judicial sale, and it's going to be generally I have complete respect for what Mr. Ellis is saying, and I'm not trying to deter or belittle that, but that's just the general thought that it's what we would normally ask, and without any other issues of mitigation, what we're looking at is, well, this did come as a bargain, at least in our mind, and so we don't feel any the staff is pretty purely discretionary, sees no purpose in reducing it anyway.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $3,000, subject to be paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
No move.
Motion from Mr. Smart. We have a second.
Second
from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Can we have a roll call, please? I couldn't.
Mrs. House?
Aye.
Yes. Mrs. Himes?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Yes. All right, motion carries.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, now we can go to case number 2, which is CEB 12-14-131, Bayshore Bath and Tennis Club Condo Association. This is a progress report, and we're going to try and set a compliance date today. Welcome.
Welcome.
Just state your name for the
yes.
record, please.
Attorney Christopher Wickersham. I have the pleasure of representing the Bayshore Bath and Tennis Condominium Association, Inc., and my address is 501 North Grandview Avenue in Daytona Beach. Now, this particular project, as you know, involves the parking garages, and it's unfortunately been a very large project, but the progress is being made in it. I'm glad to report that there's two garages, an A level and a B level.
Okay.
B is complete with one exception, and that is a fire material which still needs to be sprayed on. And there's only one company that makes this particular material. It's not made locally. And they closed down over the holidays and weren't making any of it. The shelf life or the expense for anybody local to keep it is so high they just don't stock it. So we're in about a 10-day delay right now waiting to finish B, but the only thing necessary is that, and it's sprayed on with special equipment at high pressure. And A, work is absolutely underway on that. And I have with me today Mr. Joseph Hiller, who is the engineer working with Bayshore on this particular project and obviously is the one that's supervising it and being sure it's done not only right but timely. And so I'd like just to introduce him to,
okay.
to the board. Mr.
Come on up. Good morning.
Joseph Hiller. Yes.
Sorry.
The other right hand. I do. My name is Joseph Hiller. And I'm from Port Orange, Florida. And I'm the structural engineer for the Bayshore. Currently, the lower level, which is parking level A, is about 60% complete with the stripping, cleaning, and detailing of all the steel structure. And, of course, as Mr. Wickersham said, parking level B has been completed. It was completed earlier. It was inspected by the threshold inspectors from Universal Engineering. They approved it. So once we got that approval, we were moving forward, but it was close to the Christmas holiday season. And part of the reason that the contractor did not have the fireproofing on site is because it has a relatively short shelf life. It only has about a 2 or 3 month shelf life. So we're waiting for that to show up, and as soon as they get that, they will start spraying it. It'll be 10 days before we get it. It'll be about another 10 days for them to spray parking level B. And then, but we were ahead of schedule. Now the contractor is pretty much on schedule over the holidays. So the completion date will be April 30th, and I've been assured by the contractor that they can meet that construction deadline.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, how long does that fire retardant last? What's its supply?
It's about a 30-year lifespan, and it's a very interesting product. It's relatively new. It has the fire retardant built in, and it's also got moisture barriers in, so we spray it right onto the bare steel, and it protects the steel from corrosion, and it has a fireproofing. And we're going to get about a two-hour rating out of this.
Okay. Any questions from anyone? Mr. Jackson, anything you'd like to say?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. The inspector in this case is Tom Klieg. What Mr. Klieg has informed me is that, and I guess they can confirm, they still have a long ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
They do, but the spraying is goes on relatively quick. Like I said, it is a big job. Don't want to say that it's not. There's about 60,000 square feet of surface area for the steel that between the two parking levels.
And I say that not as a complaint about anything they've been doing. They've been making
right.
great progress,
yes,
and
have.
We have no problem with the progress. But from the perspective of
setting
to
a compliance
state,
right.
Yeah, we're still a ways down before. I don't know if this really fixed that big at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we have weekly meetings at the condo with the board members and the contractor, and I discussed it yesterday with him as far as whether or not he could make the April 30th deadline. And at this point, he said yes, he could, but because I knew we needed to have a deadline for today's meeting.
Right, right.
I'm sure that the contractor would not mind having a little additional time,
right,
if necessary. The April 30th deadline was the deadline from our initial 9 month estimate that I had prepared.
So do
we can live with that, and if as I said, as long as we're having the positive progress like we've had, I'm sure they can discuss it and we'll come and ask for additional
yeah.
time if additional time is necessary.
Perhaps okay. next month we can or the next time. It's every 2 months, right? It's bimonthly.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have a clear idea of when, you know, the project will be finished, and then we'll set a compliance date.
Okay, certainly.
Actually, Madam Chair, we just have to schedule for this meeting to determine the compliance date, so we don't have any follow-up meetings scheduled or ordered.
So no progress reports have been ordered for the future at this point.
Correct.
All right. So, to do what? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to continue or to impose bimonthly progress reports. Starting today. Is there such a motion? Starting with... No, we have to do... If we don't do a compliance date today, then we need to reimpose the bi-monthly progress reports for 2016. All right, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, a motion by Mr. Smart, a second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries.
So then the next meeting will be March.
Yes, so in March we'll be back. Okay. And then maybe we can set a compliance date then or, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let us move on. I think what we're going to do is move backwards to the first case now. CEB 12-14-130, Atlantica Condo Association, care of Heart Pro Realty at 1404 North Atlantic Avenue. Respondents present. Okay. Would you all, if you're all going to speak, would you state your name and address for the record and be sworn in?
Yes, I'm sorry. Paul Hart, Hart Pro Realty. Actually, our address has changed. We've moved. It's 159 West Granada Boulevard, Ormond, 32174.
Okay.
Left hand, right hand. West Granada, yes.
Uh-huh.
My name is Scott Malone. I'm at 1404 North Atlantic Avenue, and I'm the president of La Atlantico Condominium Association.
I'm Patrick Kelly, Heart Pro Realty, 159 West Granada. I'm the new community association manager for La Atlantico.
Okay, this is just a progress report. Mr. Jackson, do you want to speak to anything right now? Let them give their progress report?
No, that's fine. I think it's going to give them the report. Thank you.
Okay.
Yesterday I got a call from our engineer, and he had a conflict today, so he couldn't make it, Mr. Hayes. So I'm speaking. We started phase two of construction on January 5th. At this time we're doing five more beams, as shown by our engineer. And we expect that to last 8 weeks. The project should, the five beams should be completed in an 8 week period. And at that point, we're done with our construction process for this year. We're in the process of collecting more money, which we are, have a special assessment on March 31st of $2,500 per owner, and another one on August 31st of $2,500 per owner. And at that point, we're looking to finish up all of our wish list for our engineering report. And everything seems to be going quite nicely.
Good. Mr. Klieg, anything to add? So this is just a progress report. Are you doing a progress report? Is this monthly?
We did at the last meeting schedule
bimonthly. Okay. Would either of you gentlemen like to say anything? No? Okay. Thank you.
The next time would be, actually it was quarterly, I'm sorry.
Quarterly.
Yes.
Okay.
The next time will be done with April. April 14th. And then we have August and September.
Okay. So, any questions from the board? All right. Motion to continue quarterly progress report. Do we even need to do that? No? Okay. We're all good. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you in April.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. We did case two. Let's try case three. CEB 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. And this is another report and providing a timeline for us. So please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record.
Ma'am, my name is Steve Merchant. I'm currently the president of the Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. My address for condo ownership is 800 North Atlantic Avenue, and my wife and I own units 602 and 603. Would you like my residence address in Orlando? Thank you.
So are you going to speak, sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
My name is Stephen Folks. I am the vice president of the Condo Association. My address for the benefit of this hearing is 800 North Atlantic Avenue, Daytona Beach, Unit 502. Mr. Hiller.
Oh, Mr. Hiller? Okay, he's already sworn, so we're okay.
Okay, good.
I do.
Mr. Klieg?
Officer Clegg, my credentials are on file. Since the last meeting, they have a new board. I think they're going to introduce themselves. They also have a new engineer, and also, as of yesterday, they have started with a permit for, I think it was emergency shoring that they just applied for. So they're getting some progress. I think they're going to give you a timeline what's going to be. The new board members will probably tell you what's going to happen next.
Okay, and this is satisfactory. You've seen
yes,
this?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It's a lot more progress than before.
Good. All right. Tell us about your timeline and what's been going on.
Ma'am, I'd just like to say first as the president that many of our members have stood up to, it's an all entirely new elected board, and I believe you advised of the intentions of the association at the last meeting, mm-hmm. and they bring great talents to this, that they're longtime owners and very dedicated to step forward and have taken these issues very seriously. I'm going to let our Vice President, Stephen, talk with the specific issues of this, but every member of our board has come forward today, our management association has come forward today, and some of our individual owners have volunteered to be here today. We understand the importance of this, and we appreciate it. Right. Stephen.
Thank you. Madam Chairman, we are a new board, and I mean that literally, 4 weeks in existence. All of the owners were not comfortable with what was taking place last year, and I think yourself raised some questions regards to what was happening. The members voted a new board in based on the fact that we are going to do things correctly and do things openly. We appointed a new engineer for the building, Mr. Hiller, who is here today. He can probably speak more on the timeline of events that need to go or take place as we move forward. We just want you to understand that as a board and as owners, this will get done. It's just a question of the time to do it. We're stuck with a certain problem. We have a permit in place from the previous contractor that expires on February 17th. We can't do anything in terms of structural work to the building so we can pull a permit after February 17th, which in essence it's February 18th. Once we can pull the new permits for a new contractor, then we can actually see some real progress with the building. We can't do anything on the current permit because we're not using the contractor that was already assigned that permit, and we can't change that contractor on that permit. So we need that to count down to get to February 17th. Then we can move forward with the new contractor, and under the guidance of Mr. Hiller, we can then get the repairs done that need to be done. But I'll let Mr. Hill explain
okay,
the sound.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have met these gentlemen and went out and did a preliminary survey of the building. I reviewed all of the previous case file notes and information that you have, and the previous engineer's specifications and his survey. I don't personally think the building is quite as bad as was led to believe in the previous survey. However, there are some columns that do need to have some immediate attention. So I drew up a temporary shoring plan, and we have a contractor that filed for a permit yesterday.
Okay.
So we are moving forward. I still need to go out and do a complete building survey, go through all the units and determine exactly what's necessary on the building. And due to my workload in the holidays, I have not been able to do that for them yet. I will be planning on doing that in the next 2 weeks. And then after that time, it will take me a little bit of time to put together an entire bid package for them and then something that they can submit to contractors and get some numbers for. But we're looking at probably 2 or 3 months before they can actually get a contractor ready to pull a permit.
Your survey is strictly for outside, not for inside the units?
I won't necessarily be going all inside the units. I will be checking the balconies. I will be checking the sliding glass doors, looking for areas of mostly it's a structural survey, but a lot of the openings you have to worry about water intrusion getting in and damaging the concrete. I'm also going to be concerned about areas of the pool deck. When I was there, there was previous work that's been done on the building, and that, which is part of the columns. Some of the previous repair did not use the right repair material, and it wasn't done properly, and it's cracking and falling off, which makes the columns look a lot worse than they really are. There's also pavers that were installed around the pool deck, and it's evidence from underneath that the pool deck has got a crack in the concrete deck, and it's the chlorine from the pool is leaking through. So these are areas... some of these areas that I noticed weren't even on the original engineering survey. And there's a couple of other issues. The building was built in three separate sections. And there's it had a curve in it. And in the parking structure, you can look up and see this curve in the ceiling where there's an expansion joint between the two buildings. That has allowed water to get in. The water gets down, destroys the concrete, and associated electrical pipes and fire sprinkler pipes that are below it. So all of those things have rusted and corroded. They need to be repaired. The concrete needs to be repaired. There's also a second parking structure on the east side where the pool deck is. That structure was originally tied to the structure with some rebar. It's a separate structure. It needs to move by itself. And it's cracking due to improper original design. So these are some of the additional things that I'm going to be looking at as far as the engineering design, not just standard concrete repair, but say a long-term repair for the building. And then we're going to do a cost analysis for the owners and sit down and see how much money they have, how much they can spend, and what needs to be done now, and what needs to move in the forward. The current, I believe, code enforcement is for the structure and the columns that were noted. And that's why I immediately had the temporary shoring put in. So we don't want the building to be hazardous.
You have no violation on the pool?
No. No.
You may have.
We may have, yes.
Madam Chair, members of the board, kind of interrupting here. Mr. Hiller, right?
Yes.
You may recall that there was a period where the association was in conflict with the prior contractor.
Yes.
And our last hearing regarding this case, I think we had some questions related to how severe, and just to give some context to what Mr. Hiller is saying now, how severe the conditions were,
mm-hmm.
and subsequently the city actually received a follow-up letter from the then engineer who was saying that there was an imminent threat of collapse of the portions of the building. And so if I could just get some clarification from Mr. Hiller of what he's been able to assess and whether we're at that stage. He's mentioned having shored up And so if those just satisfies that those things have been remedied.
Yeah, hold on a second. I think we're going into too much detail about what is going on and what is not going on. That's between you guys. It's really not a board issue. The question is, what's the code violation that we have now? It's obviously, has it been taken care of or not at this point, and we need to give them more time. It's the idea of a progress report.
Mrs. Cena, the only thing I'm trying to clear up, recall that that was a concern of the board at that time, what, if anything, the city was going to do regarding this concern of what appeared to be an imminent.
Well, I agree. That's the thing we really need to focus on, the imminent problem, not on what's going to go on 6 months down the road or what they could afford to do it afterwards. We got an imminent problem. We got a safety. We may have a problem, and that's what we need to know about now.
Which is,
we appreciate that.
Which is why I drew up the temporary shoring permit for them to install temporary shoring for the columns that were affected, even though I do not believe that it was an imminent failure. Okay. If you want me to go in more detail, I can explain.
Well, I have a question. If you've gotten you have the permit in hand.
I'm the engineer.
I'm sorry.
November 18th.
Yeah, it was applied for yesterday.
Okay. Right. And you can't do anything with it until after the old permit expires.
No, I believe they can install temporary shoring now.
Okay.
What they can't do is they can't really do any repairs necessarily until the first permit expires.
How long do you think it will take when you get the permit to temporarily shore up?
Oh, temporary shoring will take a day.
Really? Okay.
And they do have a permit where they can do that.
They can do that now.
Yes, that's what my inspector just informed me.
Okay.
So they could be installing it tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, do you have the approval of the board to
yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I think that's what we're concerned about right now. Yeah. Let's get these imminent situations done immediately, and then whatever you guys decide needs to be done after the fact, and whatever the city wants you to do, that's fine. But let's get these imminent things done immediately.
Which then I guess encourages us to look to a timeline, maybe at a future meeting, not necessarily this one, because of this shift that they have going on right now. But again, like you said, we're looking to make sure we don't have the danger.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see.
So we'll make motion to do it in a week.
Can you get this work done? How quickly can you get the shoring done?
The shoring, like I said, it's a temporary shoring, and the contractor has already ordered it. And as soon as he gets it, he can install it in a day.
I know. I understand but when...
And then after that, I mean, and the shoring can stay there for 6 months, year, or whatever.
Yeah, I get that. But when will he get the work done? I know it only takes a day. Do we have any idea?
I'm sure he'll have it by next week. We're talking a few days. We're talking like 5 days, 7 days sort of thing. Very shortly.
Okay.
They've already, just so you know, they've also already taped off an area in the parking structure with some red... red danger tape or something, so people don't walk in an area where there was the possibility mm-hmm. that some of the concrete from mm-hmm. the ceiling could fall. So they've already taken those steps, and that was prior to me being there.
So am I hearing, say in 2 weeks the showroom will be there and Mr. Cleve will be notified?
Yes, absolutely.
What about the balconies? Are they falling with concrete at this point?
There is actually, I didn't see any of the balconies that had any problems from falling, any cracks or falling on the... Now, I didn't get in to do a detailed survey, but I didn't see any cracking or problems on a visual inspection on the outside of the building. Otherwise, I would have noted that right away.
Any other comments?
I'm sure I'm going to say we'll bring this back next month
mm-hmm.
to make sure that all of those items that are of a health, safety, and welfare situation are all taken care of. And maybe at that point give us some idea of what it needs in terms of any additional issues that you might have at that point that are not in that category. I mean, how much time is going to take? But I don't want to let this thing wait.
I don't either. Let's see if we can make the motion this way. The chair will entertain a motion to continue a monthly progress report and further orders that within the next 2 weeks that the shoring up of the whatever needs to be shored up is finished.
So
is there such a... Is that... acceptable? Is there such a motion? All right. All right. Mrs. Himes made the motion, and Mr. Smart second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, so we'll get that work done, and then the safety issue will kind of, then we'll get the rest of the timeline. And
I'll see you next month.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, case number 4, CEB 11-15-59, Roy L. Doveberg, 836 North Oleander Avenue. Respondent present? No. Yes? No? All right. We're here today to do a determination of a compliance date. Mr. Klieg?
Madam Chair, as you indicated, this is here for determination of compliance date. The inspector has informed me that this, and as I'm looking at his note, this was an issue, you may recall, where there was some insurance situation where it was delaying them to handle resolving the noncompliance. The staff now understands that they will be in compliance or able to comply by April. So we're asking for April compliance date.
The April cutoff date?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to set a compliance date of April 6, 2016. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second.
Second.
Second, Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Number 5, CEB 06-15-24, the Hindu Cultural Association of Daytona Beach, 148 and 150 Madison Avenue. We're here for a progress report. Are the respondents present? And please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and be sworn in.
Mike Patel.
Are you going to be testifying, sir?
Yes. Kirit Patel.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I guess.
All right, you're here for a progress report. Mr. Fitzgerald, what would you like to tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board.
Or Mr. Jackson, sorry.
Yes, ma'am. They are making good progress, as you see, we've indicated, or the board has ordered the compliance date of February. The inspector advises that there's no issues. They'll make the compliance date, but everything's going good.
Okay. Would you like to add anything?
Oh, sir.
No? Good. Does the board have any questions? No? So I guess that we will see you next month and hope that you're in compliance at that point. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to case number 6, CEB 06-15-23, Halifax Riverfront Company, LLC, at 118 South Beach. Respondent present.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Please state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Gary Dixon, 118 South Beach Street. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you for a progress report on a violation of no permits for exterior renovations. The report is similar to the last case that the inspector informs that this respondent is making good progress. It's scheduled for compliance on February 3rd. The inspector expects that they'll make that satisfactorily.
Mr. Dixon, want to say anything?
No, ma'am. We're just waiting
just
for the permit.
Right on target,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Okay, then I guess we'll see you next month as well and hope
thank
that everything's
much.
Done. Thank you. All right. Case number 7, CEB10-15-49, and case number 8, CEB10-15-50, Great Alliances Holding and Martin Investments at 1201-1209 is in compliance, and also in compliance is 1229 Kennedy Road. So we'll move on to case number 9. CEB11-15-65. Chamisa Holdings, LLC and Hotel DeMar, 209 South Ridgewood Avenue. We are here for a progress report, and compliance date is set for 3/10. Are the respondents present? No respondents. Good morning.
Morgan, Madam Chair, members of the board. Progress has occurred. The contractor that the owner's in Australia, which he has been since this all started, the contractor has been doing work. I spoke with him yesterday. He is sick with some serious illness, not serious illness, but he's got an illness. He didn't want to infect anybody coming in today being sick. So I did speak with him yesterday.
Yeah, 'cause he was here before, Mr. McDuffie.
Yes, yeah, I believe that's okay. His name, last name. Mm-hmm. They are doing a lot of work. There are a few pictures up here, as you'll see. New smoke detectors have been put in. Electrical work, which is the main part initially, has been the third floor and second floor have been, for the most part, completed. They've ran wiring for the new fire alarm detectors, pull stations, strobes, all that stuff. They've run all of those on the second and first floor, but they can't hook all that stuff in until the first floor is done. So the progress as it is occurring is significant. They've installed a new fire alarm control panel at this moment. I believe the contractor believes that, I believe the contractor has done some significant work. And that at this time, we're still moving for that compliance date.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Any other comments? All right, and we'll see you next month.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
3/10. Mm-hmm. Oh, 3/10, yeah. So we'll see you in March. Okay. No, I think that's right.
Correct. Yeah, it is not in compliance. Actually, no, there is February
11th,
so we'll be next month.
So we'll just see you back for a progress report next month.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll see them back.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, case 10, CEB11-15-630, Javarek at 1023 Cadillac Drive, is in compliance as of January 13th. Case number 11, CEB12-15-67, Neva Wilson at 1068 North Street. Client, is a respondent present?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. Please state your name and be sworn in.
Victoria Earle, 2445 Mary Jewett Circle, Winter Haven, Florida. Yes.
All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, I think there's been an update since I've met with the inspector, so what I'd ask is that we hear from Ms. Wilson. I believe that the circumstance may be a little different than what we were previously thinking. So we'll be happy to hear, and I say Ms. Wilson, we'll be happy to hear from the person that's present.
Ms. Earle.
Yes.
Okay. I said, what is your last name again?
Earl, with the E
oh,
on
Victoria,
the end of Earl.
Yes, okay,
yes, ma'am.
Ms. Earle. All right, what would you like to tell us, Ms. Earle?
Well, just since I was in December, I think it was, it was actually November, mm-hmm. There's been a small hiccup, whereas the attorney thought that he could do a simple assessment and get the probate going, there are some additional funds that my sister had that now he cannot do a simple assessment. He's got to do a full-out probate assessment. So with that, I needed to get the signatures of anyone in the will who had been left property. So that was five of us. And we're all local except for a nephew who's in Germany in the military. So I have scanned him the form, and I'm waiting for him to send the form back to me. And then I'll get that form to the attorney who will send it off to the court system for them to review to complete the probate. The only hiccup is when I ask the attorney, what timeline are we looking at, he can't give me a timeline on when that'll be completed.
Let me ask a question. Is this property being rented out?
Yes, ma'am. And I'll tell you how that happened. When my sister passed and left me the property, I had originally wanted to use the property for college students at Bethune. However, we couldn't find any who wanted to pay the rent on the property. Now, you're probably thinking, rent? You're profiting from that. I had no idea I needed to have a permit. I didn't. So I started January of last year with the attorney trying to get him just to change the property over because I knew it needed to be changed over. In the interim, Mr. Stetson sent me a message in, I think it was September, saying, hey, you're in violation, and I wasn't aware. And since that time, I've been working trying to get things done, but it's not something that I can actually control. I can only plead, like I'm pleading with you and plead with the people involved, that they get this done. So that's what happened with the rental of the property. I have a property manager who then put an ad in the paper, and there is a lovely lady there who's a single mom with two kids. I would hate to have to tell her that she's going to have to move out because I can't afford to pay $1,000 a day if I am penalized for her being in there in that property. So I really don't know what else to do. I'm doing everything I can to get it done, but it's kind of out of my hands at this point.
You wouldn't be fined $1,000.
That's what that paperwork said. How much?
I would like to hear what staff has to say and what the recommendation is at this point.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Some help from the staff.
Okay.
Part of her problem is that the mechanism for obtaining this VTR is that she has to have ownership. And so they have an ownership issue because of the probate. What are some formed by Davis is that if she would apply to put it on hold, and then that would at least back them away from where we are going in terms of enforcement with the application pending, understanding the legal delay. Is that, am I getting that right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Is that the $10 fee you pay, you send down? There's.
I think that's perfectly reasonable.
I think I have done that because I call, because I'm just calling. I don't really know what to do. And when I call probate, the lady there, and unfortunately I don't remember exactly what she said, but several months ago she said if you would send a $10 fee, I can put it on hold, and then you can go ahead and do what you need to do. But I don't know if that's exactly what it was, but it was only a $10 fee.
I'll take it downstairs.
Okay.
They mail you. Get a receipt for your $10.
And just some.
Well, I'm not sure we're there yet. Let's have some comment from the board. Mrs. Hines, what do you want?
Madam Chair, if I could just say one thing before we start that. At least the representation from my inspectors that there's no concerns other than them actually having the permit itself. He has no knowledge of any code concerns with the
license. So what is your recommendation that we do?
We're asking to just give it a little more time. Another 60 days is what the supervisors instructed me, and that would seem reasonable as long as she's diligently working to get it resolved.
Thank you.
And Mr. Jackson, so in other words, you're asking for the 60 days, and she's going to go down and fill out the thing.
Yeah, she could fill that out and continue to work on resolving the ownership issues.
Thank you.
All right. Any comments? Any other comments? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until the cutoff date of April 6th. Is that right, or are we doing March? 60 days is March 2nd, 2016. To come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine. Well, actually, we're not going to do that. A one-time fine of $250. And further orders that the respondent applies for the business tax receipt today.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got, hopefully, this will get fixed. Do we have such a motion?
So moved.
All right. Motion from Mr. Harrington. Second from Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, side, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our new cases. 12 CEB 01-16-01, James Mitchell and Marie Mitchell at 1300 Gulfview Drive. Respondents present? Yes, no? Yes, no. Okay. I thought I heard someone say yes.
Probably manager's here, but she doesn't have to say anything.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is...
All right, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, this is before you for compliance or noncompliance. The inspector, Stanley Garcia, he advises that the property is now in compliance and is just asking for a finding. And do you have any other information? If you need any...
It was a noncompliance,
right.
Now compliance case.
Yes, that's correct.
It is compliance.
And if you have any other questions to Ms. Garcia, I turn to Mr. Garcia.
Okay, it's in compliance. Any questions from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and case be dismissed. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Mr. Smart, second from Mr. Himes. All in favor say aye. Oh, Mrs. Himes, sorry. I'm after you today, right? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, side, opposed. All right, motion carries. Trying to do this. All right, we have case number CEB 01-16-02 is in compliance. Case number CEB 01-16-03 is in compliance. Case number CEB 01-16-04 is in compliance. So we're moving down to the bottom of the page for case number CEB 01-16-05, Donna Ernest and David Nichols. The respondents present? No. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for finding of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that the property remains in noncompliance. No work's been done. He's had no contact from the owner. It is a property that's occupied. And this is, I'm sorry, and it's complaint driven. So we ask that you make a finding of compliance, non-compliance, mm-hmm. And we request that you order them to be in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay. Any comments from the board? But it is occupied.
And just to note, there is an indication, indication of an unsanitary pool, and the inspector advises that it is secure.
It is secured?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance in order to respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date of February 3rd, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
Mrs. Himes made motion. Is there a second? Mr. Harrington, the second. All in favor say aye. Like, side, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Getting there. Case number 17, CEB 01-16-06, Rossi Incorporated.
And Madam
Chair, I do have an email from the respondent who I am actually
She's good. Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, please come forward and be sworn in.
Do I have the email?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. I have it.
Right. The address of this is 116 Palm Drive.
Yes, ma'am. He's actually in Georgia right now. His girlfriend's very sick. She's about to have surgery. She's having it today, so he couldn't be here. He asked me.
Okay, hold on a second.
That's what the email is.
So she's admitting the violation.
Can you state your name, please, ma'am?
My name's Leanne Fintel. I'm representing Rosie Incorporated. It's 518.
Fintel. Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Just give me 1 second to read this, please. That's a all right. So this is a okay. I get it. Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson, what would you like to tell us about this?
Well, the inspector reports that it remains non-compliance. I believe that as Mr. Sheen was about to say earlier, the respondent is acknowledging the noncompliance, and we would agree with the request for compliance by next cutoff.
What would you like to tell us?
He just needed a little bit more time to submit the rental application, which I had sent it to him so he could fill it out, and he said he will have it in by next week. We do believe that the renter is about to move out, so that's probably why he had the outside storage and off-street parking. So, in these photos, there aren't any outside storage, but that's what's on here. He has a big enclosed trailer in the driveway right now, so he's been parking his car in the grass, which I went to the house the other day and hand-delivered him a 3-day notice and told him that he couldn't do that and also sent him a letter.
Okay. Any comments from the board?
There it is.
Yeah. So you think he's in the process of moving out?
Yeah, and he has until tomorrow to pay his rent, which I have the 3-day notice right here, and then he'll be, you know, evicted from there.
Okay. All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date of February 3rd, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed.
When did you say the next cutoff date is?
February 3rd.
Oh, I thought you said 23rd.
No, February 3rd, 2016. Okay. Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right. Number 18, CEB 01-16-07, Sandra Carey at 124 Palm. Respondent present. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for a finding of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that the property, the inspector is John Stinson, and he reports that the property remains in noncompliance, and ask that you make that finding and give them till next cutoff to come into compliance.
The legal parking is not part of this.
That's the last one.
That's correct. It's not part of the budget.
The only thing we're missing is the business tax receipt, right? Okay. All right, any questions, anything else from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, February 3rd, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time fine of $250. Is there such a motion?
So
moved. Motion by Mr. Smart. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Right, that completes our regular order here. And we're going to do
request a break. So you don't
all right,
start,
5 minute
this.
Break?
Yeah, okay. I don't want you to start this without.
All right, we'll be in recess for 5 minutes. Reconvene the meeting at 10:21. And we'll move on to number 8, request for waiver. The applicant is Rolling Rebel, doing business at Bad Boys Saloon at 601 Main Street. All right, there's a... All right, come forward, please.
Chairman, I'm Jim Morris. I actually represent the property that's occupied by Rolling Rebel. And my client is entangled in the troubles that Rolling Rebel has, and we're working with the city attorney's office and the city manager's office for the city commission to take a stipulation up that would address the full array of issues with Rolling Rebel and the property. So respectfully, what is suggested is that the board today endorse the city commission addressing a stipulation which will have a complete address of all the issues that relate to both my client's property and adjacent property. Rolling Rebel is Mr. DeRosa, and I know we met with you momentarily off the agenda, and he's in agreement with the suggestion. So the request to you is to accept jurisdiction of the matter, forward it to the City Commission for incorporation into a stipulation that the City Commission will approve or not approve, and that would be next Wednesday.
Okay.
Are you saying Commission will approve us hearing it, or they're going to
no.
You have to make a decision not to take jurisdiction.
To take jurisdiction and whether or not you would allow the incorporation of the entire matter into a stipulation that the commission will approve or not approve, and no one will know the answer to that until next week.
And in all fairness, if I could just give you a little bit of procedural history so you know what happened. Back in, I guess it was January of 2015, I believe, there was a I don't know if it's January 2015. I don't have dates. January
2015. Before we go any further, let's make the decision on the jurisdiction. Just look at that.
Okay.
All right.
You need a motion to take jurisdiction of this case. You're asking for us to do it. I don't have a reason why we can't do it. You think a yes or no?
All right. The chair will accept a motion to accept jurisdiction in this case. Is there such a motion? Mr. Harrington made the motion. Is there a second? No second?
It's just a little bit that allows to hear the case. That's
one. I know. I made it.
Right. We need a second.
I can't understand
second.
Why we don't have a second.
You can pass the gavel.
I'm going to pass the gavel. Okay. Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. I made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like sign opposed.
You have to vote.
You have to vote. I mean, just, you have to
you have to. All right, I think we need. All right, let's just abdicate what's this whole or recall that vote and the motion. And we'll amend it next time. But let's get a clearer explanation, I think. Maybe
I'll do my best.
Okay. Thank you.
I was attempting, board, to abbreviate things for you because you've had a long morning already.
Right.
The situation is that my client owns property at 601 Main Street. My client is Tlaib. Mm-hmm. It's owned by Mr. and Mrs. Archie Dodani. In the code enforcement process, as you all know, the property owner is responsible for what the tenant does. The tenant is Rolling Rebel. Rolling Rebel has gotten into some code issues with the city, and they are broader than just the TPA, which is before you this morning. And as you know, TPA stands for temporary promotional activity, and it's those things that businesses use a limited time of days per year to have promotional activities before their business, and it has to be related to their business. Mr. DeRosa's business is on Main Street. He's subject to some fines, and in the stipulation, he's agreeing to pay in full those fines to the City Commission. The jurisdiction of the matter was taken from the magistrate. because of a conflict Mr. DeRosa perceived between Mr. Vukelja, the magistrate, who is an attorney, and himself. My client had nothing to do with any of that, and we didn't want to bring it to you because we thought it was unnecessary, but Mr. DeRosa did do that, which is why we're here. Nevertheless, the root responsible party is my client, which is why I'm standing before you. And while my client is innocent as to the code violations, we know they have to be resolved. And from my end, I can tell you I'm doing everything I can, and I think the city is doing the same, to get those resolved. And Mr. DeRosa is finally coming around to seeing that those corrections need to be accomplished. The stipulation that we are working on, that the City Commission will address, is a global address of everything. And the city manager has agreed to place it on the agenda for next Wednesday at the commission. But what the city manager directed staff, and I'm communicating what I was told by Mr. Garcia, is that the city manager wanted your board to simply endorse the idea the city commission would resolve it all. And the request is that you first accept jurisdiction so you can say yes or no, and then secondarily decide whether or not you endorse the city commission resolving the entire matter. So if I might, in regard to what Mr. Sino has said, first you have to say, yes, we have jurisdiction. We have the power to do it. And I think everybody thinks that you do. There's three lawyers here at least that think you do. Secondarily, whatever your answer on the question may be, I hope that you would endorse the city commission resolving the matter, but that is entirely up to you. But I think what it does do is let you pass this small matter on so a bigger matter can be handled, and I think for the better benefit of the community, my client certainly, and for Mr. DeRosa to have to do the things he's supposed to do, which would include paying a $15,000 fine before he gets relief, dismissing a lawsuit that he has against the city before he gets relief, completing construction corrections to the building before he gets relief, having an off-duty police officer monitor all of his activities at the property before he gets relief, and sudden death if he has another code violation. That is all in the stipulation. So when you look at the way that this board customarily handles those matters, this is a product of work with the staff, and I think the staff has calculated it to be fair and encompassing and controlling. So I would suggest to you that your endorsement of this is consistent with that approach, and I think the staff has designed it to be consistent with the way that you customarily and ordinarily would handle a matter like this. And I've made Mr. DeRosa understand to the best of my ability that Bike Week activities are not necessarily a favorite of the town or this board, but there's got to be ways to address it and come into compliance and do what's supposed to be done under current codes. So in my opinion, and it's only mine, a yes vote on the two motions accomplishes those things.
And for the sake of the board, the staff is fully in support of and everything that Mr. Morris has told us is our position as well. That's with the circumstances. We have been much of the author of the terms of what we're trying to do, and it's very much the desire of staff for the co-board. In fact, it was the recommendation of Ms. Hartman that the co-board would be the substitute for the unavailability of the magistrate as it normally is in other code matters. And so we would request and expect, well, would hope and anticipate that the code board would move forward, taking that jurisdiction so that we can move forward and then do what's necessary before the commission to get their determination on whether or not they would grant what's being requested by the stipulation.
So we need a new motion.
Yeah, do we have any comments now? Are people satisfied and as far as the understanding of what we're doing?
And if you have questions, I'll try to answer your questions. No, ma'am, if you have them, I'll certainly try to answer them.
In other words, we're just turning this waiver over to the city commission.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
And in order to do that, we need to accept
jurisdiction
in the case.
It's not usually we don't take our case that's just under the commission. That's right. Our job is to not decide the commission. That's why this board is part of judicial.
Right.
The first vote is simply that we take over jurisdiction, and I don't see any problem in saying, yes, we'll take over jurisdiction. So we need it. We need to slightly rephrase.
Well, I think.
Are we allowed
motion to
the winning over. Side is the one that normally brings back.
The motion could be to accept jurisdiction in this case.
It has to be made by one of the three people that voted.
One of the three people.
No. Right.
that voted against it.
Would any of them?
You
make that motion?
Donna makes the motion.
All right.
Anybody can second it.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to accept jurisdiction in this case. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Now, the second motion is to agree to the stipulation that we move this entire matter forward to the City Commission for them to make their own decision about what's in front of us and other matters. Mm-hmm. Is there such a motion?
Before we do that,
okay.
Jim,
yes, sir.
To bother you.
You're not bothering me.
A few minutes. Explain to us what the master plan is, who devised it, how it works, what the limitations are.
All right.
The master plan is appears to be a very unusual sort of thing.
So, with the chair's permission.
Go ahead.
I'll do my best to be brief. And Ms. Himes, I'm not trying to short-circuit you. I'm trying to save your time, but I want to give you a full explanation. The Bike Week Master Plan is initially operated by the Chamber of Commerce. They're the intake agency. And businesses that are going to participate in the Bike Week Master Plan have to fit within the vicinity of the Main Street area that's designated for that. The obligation of people attempting to participate in the Bike Week Master Plan is they submit a site plan for their property or properties to be operated in consistent with the plan during, in this instance, Bike Week 2016. There's a qualifying deadline. Then there is a review to determine whether or not the submitted plans qualify. If you have an outstanding code violation, you do not qualify, and your plan is rejected. And that was the case of Mr. DeRosa. So while he turned in a plan, it was rejected as non-qualifiable because of an outstanding code violation, which is the bigger issue that it has a fine pending. In an effort to resolve that matter, and this is not the first time something like this has happened, Mr. DeRosa has been working with the staff to arrive at an agreement that would allow him to be relieved of the death that's referred to as the death penalty as far as the Bike Week Master Plan, to be relieved of that and be able to participate in Bike Week 2016. The terms so far that are on the table and, to my knowledge, agreeable is that he will pay the entire $15,000 fine, which is accrued to the property. It's accrued as a result of some banners that were placed without permits and then not removed when he was directed to do so. And so that matter was encapsulated when the banners were finally taken down, and that's where the $15,000 fine comes from. The stipulation that we are seeking from the City Commission would lift the death penalty and allow Mr. DeRosa's master plan to be approved, providing it's consistent with the normally operable standards of the Bike Week Master Plan, and the staff will be looking at that part of it. Mr. DeRosa has to pay the entire $15,000 in advance of Bike Week 2016. He also has to do the other things I mentioned, which is to have an off-duty policeman there to monitor, which is not an ordinary requirement. From the standpoint of the code staff, you know, when you have a repeat violation, it's a repeat violation when it occurs. There's not a subsequent hearing. And the code staff has taken a position similar to that in regard to any other violations that may occur in the property under Mr. DeRosa's operation. The reason for that is, from a historic perspective, I think staff made their very best efforts to achieve code compliance in the normal way they do, which is say, you've got a problem, fix it, and let's move on. From a historical perspective, I think their point of view is justified to say, we're not going to do that twice. This time, if it happens, the death penalty automatically kicks back in. Everything resolved by the stipulation is undone, and you're in the same spot that you are today. And that's a pretty severe set of circumstances, so it's a pretty big hammer to have if you are Mr. DeRosa. From my client's perspective, it's his property. And if his property suffers that burden, as it will, because it all passes through to them. So my clients have an interest in seeing it resolved, even though they didn't create the violation. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the whole obligation falls to them. So a part of the request is to let an effectively innocent party have a means of having their tenant work this out and move forward consistent with what the city expects to be done. Fair enough, guys?
And just out of all due respect to Mr. Morris, you know, historically our position has never been that the property owner is ever an innocent party.
Right.
Because they are the property owner.
It's a matter of law, that's true. As a matter of fact, it's different, but that's for another day.
All right. Do we have any more questions from the board?
I'm looking at this. In terms of assuming we were doing the case, the fine's going to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
The corrections are going to be done on the property. You're supporting business, which is, you know, what the Polk Main Street program is about. I don't see any reason why we couldn't let the commission decide on it. I really don't. What happens if they make a decision? Does that have to go to the courts then?
It depends upon the decision. If the decision is
to drop the lawsuit,
yes, that's part of the stipulation. That's the lawsuit is something he filed, and I'm not familiar with it. But a part of the agreement with the city is that he will dismiss that.
I actually preceded this other stuff.
Yes, something entirely different. Yeah,
right.
But to answer your question, if the stipulation is approved, then it's in effect. He owes the money. My clients owe the money too because I'm signing on their behalf. And he has to do the things he's agreed to do. If the city commission does not pass it, then it's really no different than it is right this minute, today, before you.
And if I could just say this, because this comes a little more frequent before the magistrate, and this
right.
Just by the way that our code has designed that, as it relates to the reviews of the denials or these things that affect the master
mm-hmm.
plan. Our code provides 2 points of what we call the death penalty. And what that penalty is that when you have a code violation that could be prohibited for 3 years from being able to participate in events. That's
the death penalty.
For the festival events under our new code. But you're also prohibited for 3 years from temporary permits as well, TPAs. Our code allows for a review of the TPA denial by the magistrate, and in this situation, because the magistrate has been recused, that's what's coming before you.
Right.
The code does not allow, at one point it used to allow for the magistrate to review as well regarding the festival events. However, the commission specifically chose to take that authority back, and so the commission reviews regarding the festival events or the master plan. And so in either case, we will have to go to be able to remedy the master plan aspect of this, we would have to go to the commission. And so our real point is that if we have to go to the commission anyway, then have the commission just take the whole pocket and decide the whole thing, either yes or no. And be done with it instead of bifurcating it into breaking it into a bunch of pieces, trying to figure out what we can do and can't do. And so that's kind of where we are with this request, and while we're consolidating it into this in this fashion that we're doing now with this meeting.
Okay. Any more questions? Everybody kind of satisfied with that?
I'll make the motion that we refer the matter to the city commission.
Yeah, a motion to agree to move this forward to the city commission. Mm-hmm. All right.
And just for clarification, ultimately what would happen is if the city commission grants this, then we'll still be bringing an actual order that would be signed by the code board releasing that which they have the authority to, but pursuant to the decision of the city commission. And so understand that's what you're authorizing.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Harrington. Do we have a second?
Second
by Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. No, I didn't hear anything.
Court, thank you for your patience
thank
this morning. Have a good day.
Okay, that concludes our regularly scheduled cases. We're not finished yet. Every year we have elections. And I kind of would have liked if we had talked about having an election the previous in January. I mean, you know, like last year, saying so everybody knew we were going to have elections. I don't know. Is it just an automatic thing?
It is. The first meeting of
every year.
Okay, first meeting of every year. All right, I'm going to open nominations for the...
Mr. Jones isn't here. Can't you do it next month?
I don't know. Is there any interest in moving it to next month because Mr. Jones is absent?
Unless you would like Mr. Jones to share out with you guys.
Right. Yeah. Right. If you were going to ask him to accept a position, he would have to agree to it.
Okay.
So do you want to do it now? I'll open nominations for the chair.
I nominate Luigi.
Second.
Okay. Now, can I do this, or does somebody else have to do this?
Any further nominations?
Are there any further nominations?
Okay. Now, we have a past history of allowing this, but understand that our rules and regs for code board has a term limit. And I believe that we just met the term limit, but we've waived that in the past with other chairs if that's been the election of the board. So that's a power that you have to waive that and elect, or if you so desire, but just so that there's no confusion about the point that there is a term limit in the rules and regulations.
So I make a motion.
Okay.
That's
so,
but I believe it is, yeah.
Are we going? We need a motion to waive.
I move that we waive the term limit on the term of Mrs. Cody.
All right. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's waived. We have, my name's been placed in nomination. So we need, are there any other nominations? So I have to close the nominations for chair. All right, so we're going to vote. I have the election of the chair since I'm the only one on the slate. Let's have the vote.
Aye.
All right. Mr. Harrington, Mr. Smart, Mrs. Himes, Mrs. House. Aye.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. All right. Now, the next thing will be to open the nominations for vice chair. And we think, would somebody like to... All right. Nomination has been made for Mrs. Himes. Is there any term limit on that?
No, she has served 3 years.
No, she hasn't served. So we don't. Do we even have to have?
She's good.
She's good right now. She's good, so we don't have to do that. So, Mr. Harrington.
I don't believe it's been two because I've been she's
fine. Right. Right. All right. So Mr. Harrington has placed Mrs. Himes' name on the ballot. Are there any other nominations? All right. We need a second. For Mrs. Himes, second for Mr. Smart. Any other nominations? All right, so we're going to close the nominations, and all in favor of electing Mrs. Himes vice chair, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries, and we carry on. Thank you. Until the next time. Okay. Any miscellaneous business from anyone?
Yes, I would like to just simply note the charming piece of information we got about our limitations as private citizens in the thickness of code boards that we have all of these potential problems. You're looking more defensively. I'm not attacking. I'm sure it was put in there for information to tell us why we were getting transferring the jurisdiction. But the thing written by a young attorney is quite charming and insulting.
I thought so too.
Let me explain something real quick. There is, as I said earlier, there's very, very little case law and articles dealing with code board. So when I find one, whether it's positive or negative, I always make you guys a copy. I know, it's not exactly the most favorable.
No, it isn't.
But well, if I can say this, though, it actually wasn't written by an attorney. It was written by
it was.
It was actually written by the respondent, Mr. DeRosa,
And it was written, I'm sure he pulled some of it from his attorney who wrote the
article. It's a different thing. We're talking
about this.
No. Oh, the article. Oh, I thought you were talking about the motion.
No, that was written by an attorney.
Oh, no, that was written by an attorney. That wasn't an attorney.
Is that what you think of
this movie
or
no, I hope not.
I don't sense that stuff. I just give it to you.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Okay, cool. All right.
That's
all
the second right. thing. I went to an installation of a group. Anyway, I was listening to the installation, and I was a guest. The non-members are frail and evil.
That's
two things I got to win this week. It's interesting how all professions and groups look at outsiders.
Right. Right.
Just that particular article came from the Florida Bar Journal.
Right.
And that's the one that goes out to every single attorney in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And again, I don't censor it. I just give it to you.
No.
You can
no
do it what you want. You want to
buy
fish? Grab fish with it.
No.
Actually, we just had no idea why it was in there. It was like just appeared. And I'm looking at it.
You don't get it that often.
Wondering why we were getting it. Wondered if we were getting the boot.
Rob's boot got it too.
Okay, anything else?
Okay, I got
Mr.
something.
Mr. Garcia.
Well, first off, I'd like to welcome Mrs. House to the board.
Wonderful.
Glad that you're on board, and hopefully you'll stick it out with us for for a while.
Well,
you haven't scared me off yet.
Okay, good. The other thing is the fact that Mrs. House is on board. I wanted to bring out to you all and get a suggestion from you all. It's been a while since we've had any type of code board training or any workshops. So, how do you all feel about that? Should I look into putting together something?
Wait till we get to the other person. We're gonna get another person.
Well, that's the thing. If we get the other person, so I don't wanna. I'm anticipating hopefully getting another person. However, if in the event we don't, I don't want to put aside the training.
Well, let me ask you: is the training going to be by our staff, or are we going to be subjected to Mr. Armstrong again?
No.
Subjected to what?
Mr. Armstrong.
Who's Mr. Armstrong?
He was the one that, remember, at the Hill was the Hilton.
You're talking about the attorney from Orlando that comes over.
Are you talking about the face training?
Yeah.
I've done it twice, and it's been.
Okay, so I know that I can save money and not have to send you again to the face training.
Correct.
The woman
that came up.
We can have. We could do it in house. Or are you referring to Mary Sneed that did the 162 training
A
while back?
Uh-huh.
I can also look into that.
I thought she was good.
What I wanted to get was a consensus from the board, and as far as when the training will be or who will be the trainers, I can work with Tony. And we can, make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for telling me how you feel about the workshop. However, Mrs. House has not been to one of those face workshops, so she will
have to go to that,
and that'll be in June. It'll be in Orlando. It's a one-day workshop, so I will take care of registering you and paying for it, and we will let you know when you need to go. But other than that...
Did you get that impression, Madam Chair?
Yeah. Or pay for Tad, too, send Tad out there.
Okay.
But you're all in agreement of setting up a workshop?
I'll work with you to whatever you need.
Will it be open to the public?
Yes, it would have to be open.
Okay.
Yes.
Not that you necessarily come.
Oh, no, I can tell you one person who's going to be there right now.
Because, people need, if people could understand more about how code operates, we'd be a lot further along.
Right.
I didn't say public discussion, but just to listen.
No, they could sit there. The last time we had the workshop, when Mary Sneed had it, it was for code board members.
Right.
It was also for some of the commissioners.
Right.
And the public was invited to it. However, the public has no formal discussion matter in it. They're just there as observers to gain knowledge.
Right.
And it's stipulated at the beginning of the workshop.
Yeah, but I think that's very helpful to have it in a place where enough people can come because, as you know, there are a lot of people now interested in code.
Yeah, if we were to have it, I would arrange to have it at the police station, at the community community rule. But so long as I have a general consensus of everyone on the board, I'll work with Amy and Tony, and we'll put it together, and we'll let you all know hopefully when we can get it done. Hopefully before June, or if not, Mrs. House will get to go to the one-day workshop in Orlando. But I want to get it before June. Yes, ma'am. I got you before June.
Before June. Okay.
And that's it. That's all I have.
Anybody have anything else? Did you want to say anything? No? All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.